blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, while the Bible is being opened for the first time in this new sanctuary, we will sing from Psalter 337, the first stanza, Thy wondrous testimonies, Lord, my soul will keep and greatly praise. Thy word by faithful lips proclaimed, to simplest minds the truth conveys. And for this, we would like to ask the congregation to stand. Psalter 337 in the first stanza.
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the last book of the Bible, Revelations 21. But before that, we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardux, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophrasus, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, nor shall there be no more night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Andre and Rosemary Johnson, who received a well-born girl in this past week, and Mrs. Clock in the Bethesda nursing home, who is in a very low condition. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, long-suffering, and good-doing God, we may acknowledge Thee that Thou dost bring us together in this morning hour in this way, for we may come round about Thy holy word and in a new sanctuary that Thou hast given unto us, for the place where we did abide was too straight for us. And then thou givest unto us the blessing of a multitude of persons. And thou dost give unto us the blessing, and now also of a place in thy house of prayer. Oh, that our hearts in this morning may be humbled under the greatness of thy goodness, which is from our side so undeserved, that our sins may appear to us in this morning in their true light, that we might abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee, and that we may acknowledge thee truly for all thy gifts and blessings. We can read of thy servant, and that he did write, I have loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. O Lord, that it may be also in the heart of each and every one of us, and that love for that place where thine honor dwelleth, and that it may be so in this place, that thy honor may indeed dwell here, that man may be humbled to the lowest, and that thou may be magnified to the highest in all thy precious work that thou hast decreed from eternity, and that thou hast done for thy dear people in the sending forth of thy dear and only begotten Son, that he may pay that price that we owe and that we are not able to pay. And in the sending forth of thy dear Holy Spirit, that he may make on us a new creature in all our wretchedness and abomination in thy most holy sight. O Lord, give us in truth to magnify thee continually in the preaching of thy holy word, that it may be a place that thy word is opened unto us, and that we may be given blessed insights and experiences thereof, and that we may be enabled to speak out of the abundance of our heart. May it be for the good and the welfare of Jerusalem, and that thy children may in this place receive that new life, that they may receive edification upon that short journey between the cradle and the grave, and that new ones may be born in Zion, that there may be instruction for the upbuilding of thy Zion, and that there may be a magnifying in the heart of thy great and thy glorious and worthy name. Oh, give it in the heart of both young and old. For this is a place where, when thou wilt give it in the future, then our children will receive that holy sacrament of baptism, where that they may enter in an outward way into the administration of thy church. Oh, that it may be for the good, the edification, the conversion of our children and our youth, that thy house may indeed be that place where they do delight to dwell. For thou dost love the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Or that thou may look then also upon each and every one in the congregation, because here is also that place where that our young people will be united in that bond of holy matrimony, and that they may begin that life together as a husband and a wife. Oh, that thou may preserve that institution, and that thou may give love between husbands and wives, and that thou may give that flower yet to remain for the sake of the coming generations. And do look upon us when also confession will be made in this place, when the vows shall be made, that we may with all truth and faithfulness abide under the commandments of the Lord. Oh, that those confessions also in this place may receive a blessing from on high. And when it will be that those will have to come forth also, oh, could it be that each of us may in this place make a true confession of guilt. Oh, Lord, we beseech Thee, and when men will come here silently or publicly to confess before Thee that I have sinned and that I have done what is evil in Thy most holy sight, that Thou mayest from thy heavens hear us, and that when Thou hearest, that Thou mayest forgive, and that Thou may wash us and cleanse us in the precious and all-atoning blood of Thy dear Son, that this may be a place where it becomes precious unto each and every one of us, and when it will also be a place where we are bringing one another, that we may lay one another into the grave. O Lord, that Thou may look upon us in that short time that we have here below, and that short space that is between the cradle and the grave, and that this building, that this sanctuary, and that it may be sanctified and blessed, and that Thy word which is brought in this place may be a word of truth, and that there may be profit upon our short journey to meet Thee, and that we may then die in peace and in righteousness, only to ascend unto our eternal home with Thee. Oh, that Thou may bind these matters upon each and every one of us. Remember the old mother, who is drawing nigh unto that place. O Lord, between the cradle and the grave, then it is a short time when she is looking back at her children and loved ones. Oh, that Thou may be on her right and on her left now, when she must bid farewell, and when she then must go over that last Jordan. Oh, that Thou wouldest forgive, O Lord, all of her sins, and that Thou mayest take her unto Thyself in Thy mercy. Remember the family together. Remember our own son and daughter, when Thou hast made it well that they may receive a child from Thee. Oh, that it may be a child born to be born again, and that they may receive wisdom and the fear of Thy name in the bringing up of this child. Strengthen mother and child alike. Do remember all those that mourn, especially that have laid a beloved daughter in the grave in this past week. Oh, we beseech Thee, wilt Thou stand on their right and on their left hand, in Thy mercy, and supply for them in all their grief and in all their sorrows. Wilt Thou remember the sick in the time that we are living, when sickness does go over the face of the world. Oh, that Thou may supply and give men an understanding heart, the seriousness of life. And wilt Thou give it unto each and every one also of us, and watch over and protect us as a congregation. And do be with us as a consistory, that it may be also in this place that we may receive that felt presence of Thee, that it may be here that we may work together as those who are brethren, and that there may be a felt blessing upon the labors of our hands. May it be also in this morning hour, when we are gathered together, Lord, wilt Thou strengthen us, And wilt thou help us in the bringing of this portion of thy holy word? Oh, do instruct us that we may instruct others, and that we may feel, and that in the beginning already, and the Lord is near. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will now sing from Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care, how he vowed to seek no pleasure till thy house he should prepare. And what follows? This is the second wedding announcement of Albert Rulofsen and Amy Alleman, scheduled for this Thursday, July the 30th. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by tomorrow. The following persons hope to make confession of faith on Sunday, August the 2nd. Allison Busicum, Erica Busicum, Jessica Fader, Martin Hochevein, Emmanuel Kashahalwa, Brendan Kreft, Tacy Kreft, Tom Outsorn, Kaylee Kreft, Alyssa Van Driesten, Natalie Van Driesten, Hank Van Driesten, Bailey Van Driesten, Eric Vinny. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by tomorrow. The consistory hopes to meet this coming Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. And the extra collection today is for the Synodical Education Committee. Psalter 367, 1, 2, and 4.
Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care, how he vowed to seek no pleasure till thy house should prepare. Lord, remember his devotion, restless in his courts he trod, till he found a habitation Israel's mighty God, till he found a habitation fit for Israel's mighty God's ark was resting. It is with his people now. We will go into his temple at his foot. revealing. Enter, Lord, into thy rest. Let thy priests be clothed with justice. Let thy joyful saints be blessed. Let thy priests be clothed with justice. Let thy joyful saints be blessed. Thou, the Lord, has chosen Zion. Thou hast ever loved her well. This my resting place forever. Hear thou sayest, I choose to dwell. Surely I will bless and help her, feed her poor, her saints make glad. Her priest shall stand before me in salvation's garments glad. And her priest shall stand before me in salvation's garments clad.
Beloved congregation, we can read that one of the disciples of the Lord, he has said to him at one time, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. How often has this not been said among us in the months and in the day especially that has gone by? See what a very beautiful building that the Church of the Lord is. What the disciples speak about. They spoke about the temple of the Lord as it was rebuilt by Herod. Herod was a lover of architecture and has rebuilt that temple of the Lord for the Jews in a very magnificent way. Josephus, he writes about some of those stones that the disciples, they are speaking about. And they were 12 feet high, some of them, 7 feet wide, and 67 feet long. That is a single stone of Herod's temple. The Lord Jesus, he said to his disciples, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That was his answer. Thus, he did not allow his disciples to dote upon the things that were external, while he said, that is not where that the true glory, that is an outward glory, that is not now where the true glory of that temple is lying. You say, well, where does it lie? If we will go back in the history to the beginning of the setting up of that temple, then we see that the foundation of that temple that is being laid. And then we also hear there are those that are rejoicing at the laying of that temple. And at the same time, there are those who are weeping. The children, the younger ones, and they are rejoicing, and the older ones, they say, well, they have seen that temple of Solomon in all its glory, and they thought just that little foundation now that we are rebuilding, that is nothing in comparison, and thus that church that has lost its glory. And yet Haggai, he says it is not so, and he prophesied to them. And he said that the glory of that latter house shall be greater than the glory of that former house. And how is that? Because the Lord, he said that the desire of all nations shall come. And he said, I will fill this house with glory. And that happened in the day that the desire of all nations, that all nations have looked unto, that is, of Christ himself, that he has entered not into Solomon's temple, but he has entered into that temple that has begun on such a small foundation whereof those older people, they were actually weeping. We may be so very glad in this day with this new sanctuary. The Lord, he has given it unto us, and we do not deserve it. And the Lord also provide for us in a financial way, that it may also be able to be paid in due time. And yet let us never end in these external things. Because also one day this house that shall be burned up with all the world. Therefore, we must look to the true glory. What will now be that true glory of this house that is in the presence, in the coming of the Lord himself. It is in the coming of his only begotten Son. That is what our text speaks about. If any man be in Christ, that we began speaking about in the last week, and we hope to continue this in this morning hour, from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17d. Corinthians 5, the last part of verse 17. Behold, all things become new. So far, the words of our text. Paul's declaration of the becoming new of all things. First, the becoming new of all things. And second, all the things that become new. Thus, first, the becoming new of all things, and second, all the things that become new. Therefore, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, that is the great turning point that we began to speak about last week, change of state. That is, from the state of being guilty before our judge to the state, the blessed state, of the acquittal before that judge. When does that take place, children? That takes place objectively. That means from the side of the Lord. That takes place. That takes place in the moment of regeneration. And then Paul says here, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Actually, it says he is a new creation. Thus, it speaks about laying a new foundation, establishing something, creating that is brand new. Today we are sitting in a new building. We have spoken about that before we began. We asked one another, should we make a new building or should we take the old building and renovate that and make that larger? And we have decided that we are going to make a new building. We could have used the old because the foundation was good. But if the foundation was not good, then we say, well, we could not use that old building. It would be foolish for us to begin to build on a foundation that is poor. And now what did the Lord do? Paul, he speaks about here a new creation. Then, children, did the Lord create the world? Well, when he created the world, that was, you say, in the very beginning. Yes, and now the apostle speaks about a new creation. Thus, creates something else. A new creation, that means that the Lord, he did not begin with that fallen man and try to rectify what was wrong in him. No, he started completely new because that old man that is not able to be fixed, then man does not need just to be renovated. No, Paul says that man, he needs to be made completely new. And that is why our fathers, they call regeneration, they call that a new creation. That is for here from the Word of God. And what the apostle, he is regeneration. That is why David, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Do you ever say that, boys and girls? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Do you ever feel that your heart that is so corrupt and so wicked that you need a new heart created in you? And indeed, that is what the Lord says that he will do for his people. He says, a new heart will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I give unto you, and I will take that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give unto you a heart of flesh. That is why that the Lord Jesus, he says, that it is necessary that a man be born again in order that he may enter into that kingdom of God. And that is to, can you give yourself to be born again? You say that is the work of the Spirit of the Lord alone. That's right. He is the worker. And that is what the Apostle Paul, he said too. He says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of his Spirit. And for this the apostle says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So that is the apostle. And now, John, we read that, John writes about this building of God, doesn't he? Revelations 21. There he writes about the new Jerusalem. You listen to that, children, and when you were listening to this, could you just picture in your mind for a moment when he has described the things that that new Jerusalem was made out of? That is a city that cannot be compared in its building to any temple, to Solomon's temple, even to Herod's temple, and certainly not unto our little temple, our little church. City, he said, that was made of pure gold, just like transparent glass, it says. The walls, they were made of jasper. The foundations of that city, they were set with precious stones. All the gates of that city, each of those 12 gates, they were 12 different pearls. What a beautiful, what a magnificent city that the Apostle John has received the privilege of peering into, as it were, before that eternity has come for him. But then the Apostle, he says something very specific. He says, I saw no temple therein. That is, there was no outward building of a temple. There was no external temple. That is now one of those old things that will have passed away, John says, for that church. There will be no more temple for them. That is, that place that they have loved here on earth, that was for them a means. That was a means to be used in the hands of the Lord in order that he may bring in his church. But John says, there is coming a time that means that will be done away. I saw no temple therein. And then John shows to us what is actually the essence, what is the real part of that true worship. He says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. Thus he shows to us that that temple that was actually an appendage, that was not in itself, in and of itself, that most important and necessary thing. Boys and girls, how would that be if you lived in a very beautiful house? I mean like a mansion that you see sometimes in the pictures, made of all beautiful things. But your parents were not there, and your brothers and sisters were not there, and there was no one there. How would that be for you? You would have a beautiful house, maybe made of gold and precious stones and all those things. How would you like that? You sometimes complain, you say, well, I don't have so much of this or I don't have so much of that. But what is now the most important thing? Is that not your mother and your father and your brothers and your sisters? And if you had just a poor little hut, but you had all your loved ones, then you say, then I have what I like. Because it is not your house, but it is your loved ones. It is your relation. You say that is now the most important thing. What would now be heaven without the Lord? What would that be? John says it would be glass, gold, precious stones, pearls. That's what it would be. That is all. How would that be for us? Namely, what do we look for if we even look past our grave? If we look past the end of our life, what are we looking for? What does man look for? Speaks about the word heaven. But what is it that he desires to experience and to enjoy in heaven? You know what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. That is what he is doing. Indeed, it is a beautiful place that will be enjoyed by all the true church forever and forever. Gold, precious stones, jasper, all those things. And how would it be for that church if the Lord did not say also to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Thus it is not the gold, or the precious stones, or the pearls, but it is the presence, and it is the blessed communion that will be enjoyed there with him. That is what is now the great glory that will be enjoyed by that true church of God. Thus, that glory of heaven that is begun already to be enjoyed on the earth in this beautiful and yet little building. It is begun to be enjoyed on the earth. When? In the union and in the communion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Paul says here. He says, if any man be in Christ, then he is a new creature. And what is it then that becomes new? We see that in our second thought. All the things that become new. Behold, our text says, behold, all things become new. So that is, look, see, notice those things that become new. That is a pleasant thing. When old things are passed away, it is pleasant for us to today. Then we may leave our old sanctuary and we come into a new sanctuary, a beautiful sanctuary, room for everyone. It is also a very precious thing when a child is born, a new child. You've had it too in your families, right, boys and girls? We had that now. In our family this past week, grandchild, a new grandchild, beautiful thing. Even if that baby is crying, you say that's a beautiful thing. Say, if the baby is crying, yeah, why is that so beautiful? Because that mother and that father, when that baby is born, they are listening. And what are they listening for? They are listening for a cry. because that cry, even we say how sad it is, that cry is now the sign of new life. Something new has come into this world, and it is life. And the parents, they are looking forward to this, and they are waiting with some anxiety because there is always the possibility, because of our sin, that child, when he is born, he does not cry, and that there is no life. What a wonder it would be if in this building, in the time to come, there were those that may shed their first tears. No, not the first tears in this world, because we have all shed them. But oh, now those first tears, the tears of godly sorrow. Maybe we and those around us, they will not see it. Maybe it does not even drip out of our eye. But you know where those first tears are seen. That first crying that is seen in heaven. Because there the Lord Jesus, he says that the angels of God, they will begin to rejoice. They will begin to sing at that first indication of the tears of a man, the repentance of a man. That is now one of the first things that is taking place. When a great change, when Christ, he is born objectively, we say now, from the side of the Lord, that new birth that is now a broken heart that is new. Do we know what that is? A broken heart, a godly sorrow for sin, that the Bible says we will never ever repent of, not all our life and not to all eternity. Would that not be a wonder if such tears, they began here in this house of the Lord? Do you know what we read that the Lord says of Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church? The Lord said of that man, behold, he prayeth. When was that? That was when the Lord came. He said that man prayed many times in his life, standing on the street corner. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He never prayed once in his life. Until that day that the Lord came. And that the Lord brought him on the ground, that the Lord humbled him. And then the Lord says, that man, he began to pray. O congregation, could this now be the place? Could this now be the sanctuary where we begin to pray? After we have prayed all our life. No, we have never prayed once. But could this now be the place that the prayer of the true church is born? In Philippi, the Apostle Paul, he did not have a church. You know where he went, children? He went down to the river. And it says that's where prayer was wont to be made, by the riverside. There at that riverside, there was a woman. And when Paul, he was speaking out of the Word of God. Oh, was that church necessary? It was not necessary. Oh, it is beautiful. God's children, they love it. Why? Because that's where God delights to dwell. But when it cannot be, Oh, that does not stand in the Lord's way. Then it is down by the riverside. And there she received new ears that she may hear something. The Apostle Paul, he is speaking out of the Word of God. And then that woman, she hears. She hears something that she has never heard before in her life. And she begins to look at him. And she begins to listen as she has never listened before in her life. How do you listen? Oh, that this may be a place where we receive new ears. Because then we will not come up to the house of the Lord anymore, just out of form, just out of custom. But then we will enter into those doors with a need, with a desire that is in our heart, that we may hear something. You know, if we come to church just to satisfy our conscience, then we go away from church and it is good. It's good. We went there today and tomorrow we go back to our work. That is now the difference with those who have a desire and a need to hear something. Because of this people, they go out of those doors for the second time on the Sabbath day. And then they have not heard something. They have not received something. Then there is in their heart a weeping. There is a great disappointment. Do you see the difference now between that new life and that old life? For that people, those old life, that old careless life that has passed away, and there is a new life of concern and of need. And that is especially then about that house of the Lord. Behold, all things become new, not just one or two things. All things. Why? Because that whole life, the heart is affected. And that whole life of that people is affected. New feelings. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. He hears my cry. My prayer, my supplication, oh, the love. Do you not think you will know if love is born in your heart to the Lord? That is not a man who is converted in himself, but he is converted by the Lord. The eyes are opened. The eyes of his understanding are opened. That he may see as he has never seen before. What does he see? The seriousness of life. Why? Because a young girl has passed away? Yes. Yes. But there is more, because even when those things are not happening, oh, it is this new life. This new life that gives that seriousness about life. They receive a new will. All things become new. New will to choose. Your will chooses, young people. What choices do you make? Do you make the choice of Joseph? Do you make the choice of Ruth? When she says, thy people, my people, thy God, my God. Oh, you say, I do not have a new life. Oh, admit it then. Admit it then. Don't pretend. Never. It does not help you to pretend. Tell it to the Lord. Say, Lord, what Joseph did, I do not do. What Ruth confessed, I do not confess. And lay that before the Lord and tell him how wicked that you are. And ask him for that new will. Do you know what will become precious to you? The house of God. One day in thy house, better than 1,000. We will sing of it. 226. the second stanza. A single day within thy courts, where I thy beauty see, is better than 1,000 days, my God, apart from thee. The second stanza of Psalter 226. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So much new. We can mention so many things, but we don't have time to mention everything. Your friends become new, young people. The Lord is now your friend. And his people. The Bible says that it is an afflicted people. It is a poor people. They are not most of the time the great people of this world. They are publicans and sinners. No, not that you will join with sinners in this world. It will be just the opposite. You will not be among those that rebel. No, you will not join with them. But it is with those who repent. Then there is no sinner that is too great that you will say, I will not place myself next to that man. I will not place myself next to that woman who is the chiefest of the sinners in this world. New views of the law, God's holy law. New principles that you will walk by in your life, a new warfare, a warfare. What is that warfare? You say, I have already a warfare. You have a warfare, young people. You know what your warfare is like? We all have a warfare. Every man in this world, he has a conscience. What's that warfare like? It's like having a slave master with a whip. You don't do right, and you get a slash with that whip. Is that the way we live? And when all things become new, how is that? Yeah, slave master is there too, but there's something else. There is love in your heart. You know what Jabez asked the Lord? He said, oh Lord, keep me from evil. Why? That it may not grieve me. That it may not grieve me. Grief. That is now new. That is new. Because the conscience, that does not make a man weep. But love, that is new. And that grief is new. Faith, is new. What does it do? It says, I have this and I have that. No, that is the faith of the Christianity, sadly, of most of the world in which we live. You know what faith does? It cleaves. It says, I will not let thee go, except that thou bless me. All things new. And yet, if we were to leave it here, we would miss the most important thing. Why is that? Because Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And when we are born again, then we come into Christ objectively. But there is also a coming into him subjectively. And now how is that? Because when you think about Joseph and his brethren, then there were many dealings that Joseph had with his brothers. And they did not realize it. Were they in him? Was he looking after them? You say, yes. Everything. He was providing for them. And he was doing something for them. But they did not know that. There was a great change in their life. In that day that they began to come there and they had to go to Egypt, when that famine came, that was the beginning of that change in their life. And yet there was a much greater change when, oh, you say, in that day that Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. There was a greater change. Why? Oh, that was now the day that those brothers, they came into that true confession of guilt. They could not hide it anymore. You read, they say, God hath found out the iniquity of his servants. It is all done, sir. It is all done. And now we have to be open about it. And now we have to tell it all. Now in that moment, then they experience something in their life. When they may come, as it were, the lowest that they could come, in the dust of self-abasement. He became for them in that moment from that angry viceroy. He became a gracious brother. Is that not a change? That was a moment that those brothers, they experienced in their life what grace is. Grace. Could they tell you what grace was before? Oh, sure, because we can all define it. But it was in that moment, in the severity of their case, in the depth of their guilt, and in their confession, ready to give themselves over unto the judgment. Now they experience for themselves what grace was. To undeserving persons. Was that not new? Was that not new? Old things in that moment, they passed away for those brothers. A whole life. A whole life. Ever since the day that they sold that boy away and they could not come unto that confession until This day that they heard it out of the mouth of Joseph himself. Your brother. Be not angry with yourselves that you have sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. All things from that moment forward. Or it was a different life for those brothers. Oh, what a wonder if in this place that the Lord may reveal himself unto such persons. That is a moment the Lord, he will put a new song in your mouth. When you will see as the most guilty and sinful creature of this world, that his grace, that is as wide as the ocean, or when you may see him with an eye of faith, that your heart may believe in him, that your heart may go out to him, and that you may say, he is white, he is ruddy. All things, they become new. Because the heart begins to see what grace is, what mercy is. And then it begins to live out of that grace by just small measures. Then there comes a seeking. There comes a love for that blessed mediator. And a seeking that I may be in him. And a seeking that I may have the assurance that I may have peace in my soul concerning the knowledge of him who is able to forgive me all of my sins. Oh, how beautiful then that this house that will become to your soul, not because of its external beauty alone, but it will become so beautiful because that Almighty God and the Lamb, they are the temple of it. Oh, then you will have experienced the first joys of heaven. That is the blessed communion with the Lord in his free and in his sovereign grace. Oh, then you are going to seek to know more. Seek to see more of him. That knowledge of him may be established in your soul. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is the life, the Lord Jesus says, of his church. They will suffer persecutions. They will suffer afflictions in this life. But now the time is coming. He said that all those persecutions that are here below, all the suffering and all the afflictions, they are going to pass away. We heard it read to us. John, he heard a great voice from heaven. He that sat at the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Oh, that will be the final and greatest change for the church of God. No more temple. Because the Almighty God and the Lamb, they are the temple of it. Everything ending in him. All that is earthly and all that is carnal, that is passing away. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Congregation, which of us are going to enter into that eternal abode where the warfare is accomplished, where iniquity is pardoned, and for the Lord hath rewarded unto the church double, sufficient, enough for all their sins, and then he will take them away. And Elisha, he was there in the famine. Then in the midst of that famine, he began to speak about what was going to take place tomorrow. He said, tomorrow, this place is going to be filled with food. And then that wicked man on whom his lord, the king, leaned, began to mock. So, speak about a great famine. And we are today in a great dearth. And Elisha warned him. He says, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Congregation, will that now be the same for us? Concerning that heavenly city, we've been looking forward to this long time. The Lord gave it to us in this morning hour. Are you also looking forward? If there are those who look forward, I think there are some of you, past the things that are carnal, do you look forward then to entering into that eternal abode? And then will it be that it is said unto you, you have heard of it, you've had it spoken unto you, but you will not enter therein. That is solemn, children. Is that not solemn? Oh, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, young and old, in this house of prayer. Oh, seek him with diligence. Seek him with desire. Not with carelessness. Not with carnality. Oh, come up to the house of prayer with a prayer in your heart, that you may receive something from the Lord. You say, I have no desire. Can't convert myself. Oh, could it be that in this place, that may become our guilt, not our excuse, because it is no excuse. That now may become our guilt, and that we may in this place receive a cry unto the Lord. David said, I called upon the Lord in my distress, and he answered me, and he set me in a large place. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bless thy word, O make it new unto thy children, make it new unto each and every one of us, and make us new. Make us new creatures, and that we may love thee, and that our life, our heart may change, that we may receive new desires, a new obedience, and that we may experience that new covenant, the blessed covenant, wherein all our iniquity that can be thrown into the sea, never to be remembered anymore by thee. Oh, forgive then our sins, each and every one. Be with us further in this day. Help those that will, him that will read in this afternoon. Do keep us on thy holy day. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 30, stanzas 2 and 3. The lot to me that fell is beautiful and fair. The heritage in which I dwell is good beyond compare. 2 and 3 of Psalter 30.
To me that fell is beautiful and fair. The heritage in which I dwell is good beyond compare. The Lord above, whose counsel guides aright, my heart instructs me in his love, in seeing of the night. I keep before me still the Lord whom I have proved at my right hand. Joys abide.
Receive of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.